Welcome to Message of Hope, the radio ministry of Meadowview Church of Christ, located at 6750 Raiders Road in Frazeesburg. Meadowview Church of Christ meets every Sunday with a worship service at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10:15 a.m., and evening service at 6:30 p.m. We invite you to join us. To learn more about the Meadowview Church of Christ, visit us online at meadowviewchurch.com.
I want to begin a brand new sermon series today, and I've entitled this Serving Like Jesus. I want to get started by simply summarizing what this sermon series is going to be all about. But I believe one of God's major objectives for us is to be conformed to the image of His Son. And one of the primary ways God wants us to become more like Jesus is in our service to others. The Bible says Jesus came to serve and to give. And so if we're going to be His followers, we too must serve and give. I was reading a story about this wealthy lady. She was a widow, and she lived by herself, but she had a lot of money. And so she was hiring a prospective butler. And when she was interviewing this butler, she asked him, "Are you trained to serve guests?" Prospective butler replied, "Yes, ma'am. I've been trained to serve guests both ways." She got a puzzled look on her face. She asked him, "Well, what do you mean you're served to train guests both ways?" Prospective butler replied, "I've been trained to serve them so they'll come again or they'll stay away. You just have to let me know what you desire for each guest." Well, I hope that's not the case for the church. We want everybody to come and stay, amen? Let me ask you this. Would you say that you have been trained to serve? Serving is not something that comes naturally to most people. Living a life of service is a practice and a lifestyle that must be encouraged and developed. And so for this series, obviously primarily my source is going to be the Word of God. But another resource that I'm going to use a little bit is a book written by Chuck Swindoll way back in 1981. It's one of the first books I read when I was a new Christian. It was called Improving Your Serve, The Art of Unselfish Living. There's just a lot of good principles there. For today, I want to ask and answer this question: what does it really mean to be a servant? Let me ask you this. What comes to your mind when you hear that word servant? Just think about that for a moment. Do you think of the Hebrew slaves in Egypt? Do you think of the African slaves brought to America in the early days of our country? Do you think of the thousands of migrant workers who at harvest time populate the farmlands across this nation? Now, if those are the images that come to mind, then the idea of being a servant of Jesus is not likely to be very appealing to you. If our notion of a slave is a lowly person who has no purpose in life, who's dirty and weary, sort of like a human mule, and I hope that's not what your concept is, but if it is, we are not likely to jump at the chance to be a servant of Jesus, and understandably so. The good news I have to share with you this morning is this is not what God means when He says He wants us to be a servant. And that is certainly not what is meant when the Bible says that Jesus was a servant. What I want to focus on today and remind you about throughout this series is that God wants all of us to become more and more like Jesus. I want to look at a passage in Romans chapter 8 to get started, just two verses. 28 is the more popular one, we say that a lot. 29 is the one I really want to focus on, though. I'm going to read them both. Apostle Paul wrote, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." And then verse 29 says, "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Now, perhaps you've never thought about it like that, that God's desire for all of us as His children is to be conformed into the image and likeness of His Son, Jesus. Now, there should be obvious ways that all of us should want to be like Jesus. We should want to walk with our Father as He walked with His Father. His knowledge of Scripture, his prayer life, his purity, all those are things that we should want to imitate. But what about Jesus' example of service to others? Well, that's the focus for today. Before we get into God's word even more, let's ask him for his help, his wisdom, and understanding as we go to him in prayer. Our Father, what a privilege it is that you have given us this freedom to be together, and now is our time to open your word and share a portion of its truth today. And as we look at the teachings and examples of Jesus, Lord, we are so grateful that he came to earth to serve and to give. As your children, as brothers and sisters in Christ, help us to realize that one of your goals for us is to transform us, to change us, to help us to become more like Jesus. And we want to focus in on doing that over the next few weeks as it relates to how he served others. Please use me in a way, Father, that would be pleasing to you. Help us today to look specifically at Jesus and what he taught and the example that he set. Give us wisdom and understanding. Help us to make proper applications. We want to be a church here for you, Lord, that reaches out to others, that serves others as Jesus did. So help us to do that. Would you please bring blessing to your word, strength to us as we study its truth. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to begin a verse in Matthew 20, verse 28. This is how Jesus characterized his own life and his own purpose. He said this, just as the Son of Man, now I've said this many times before, the Son of Man was the term Jesus used to describe himself, to emphasize his humanity. He said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus is very clear and very simple here. Jesus came to serve and give. That's the title of today's message. And if that was true for Jesus, don't you think that's what God would want for us? Yes. After adopting us into his family through our being born again, God then sets his sights on building into us these same qualities and characteristics that made Jesus distinct from all others when he lived. In fact, from all others who have ever lived. God wants to build in us this same serving and giving qualities that characterized his son. Now, in many ways, there's nothing more refreshing than seeing someone with a servant's heart and a giving spirit. I mean, that's refreshing. I remember reading an article many years ago, and I put it in my illustration file, and I want to use it today. Colonel James Irwin was a former astronaut who was part of the crew that made a successful moonwalk way back in 1971. And James Irwin often spoke of the thrill of leaving this planet and seeing the Earth shrink in size as he was going into outer space. One day, while watching the now tiny-looking Earth in space, when he was in space, he realized just how privileged he was to be a member of that unique crew known as Apollo 15. While on his way back to Earth, he thought about the fact that now he would probably be considered a superstar. He was about to become an international celebrity. After all, he had walked on the moon. But because of his relationship with God, he was determined not to allow any of that to go to his head. I want you to listen to his humility as he was interviewed after he got back. This is what he said, and I quote, "As I was returning to Earth, I realized that I was a servant, not a celebrity. I am here as God's servant on planet Earth to share what I have experienced that others might know the glory of God." Unquote. That basic motto would help all of us as followers of Jesus. I am a servant, not a celebrity. Like Jesus, we are here to serve, not to be served. But as we go about living each day in this self-absorbed world, it's so easy to lose sight of that primary calling. And maybe you're like me. I have sometimes wondered, maybe you thought this too, I know I have. I just wish I could go back in time. I wish I could be able to sit at the feet of Jesus as he was preaching that Sermon on the Mount. I wish I could have been one of those 12 apostles who learned so much from Jesus in those 3 years that he trained them. Ever thought that way? It would have been easy for me to learn this idea of being a servant if I was there with Jesus. I happen to believe if we think that way, that's the wrong thinking. I don't think it was any easier for them to get it than it is for us today. And the advantage we have is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit with us. Of course, Jesus himself was with them. But it's not easy to be a servant. So I want us to turn our attention to the two main points I want to share today. The first one is the teaching of Jesus. And there's one particular event that takes place in Matthew chapter 20 where Jesus teaches us about what it means to be a servant. Jesus' popularity was on the rise. The knowledge of his teachings were spreading. People were excited to get on the Jesus bandwagon. And they wanted to position themselves, at least some did, as we will see, in this growing movement, in the kingdom that they felt was immediately coming. So we read in verses 20 and 21 of Matthew chapter 20, "Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, bowing down and making a request of him. And he said to her, 'What do you desire?' She said to him, 'Say that in your kingdom, these two sons of mine shall sit, one at the right, one at the left.'" Now, I don't think we should be too tough on this dear Jewish mom. Picture her standing there proudly with her sons at her side. And like any good mom, she was looking for opportunities that would move her sons in the right direction, give them an advantage. And notice that her request was not too extreme. She didn't ask that her sons occupy the center throne. She knew that place belonged to Jesus. She bowed before him. So she pushed for her sons, James and John, to be on thrones beside Jesus. And just in case you're wondering how the other 10 felt about this, if you look at verse 24, the Bible says the 10 became indignant. That word means angry or disgusted. My guess is they were angry because they hadn't been the first to make the same request. And if you and I had been there, we might have reacted the same way. But look at Jesus' response in verse 22. "But Jesus replied, 'You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?' They said to him, 'We are able.'" They had no idea yet about that cup of suffering, and that's what Jesus was referring to, that he was about to go through. And so they foolishly answered Jesus' question, "No problem for us, Jesus, piece of cake. We're going to be able to do what you're doing. We're going to be able to take that cup." I want you to keep in mind that in the three verses that had preceded this mother's request, Jesus had told them he was going to Jerusalem, he would be betrayed, condemned, mocked, flogged, and crucified. So obviously, this mother and her sons didn't really understand that yet. Despite all that Jesus had said, she and her sons were imagining this physical kingdom where Jesus would reign with power and might. He would overthrow the dreaded Romans, and they wanted to be the ones serving at the top of the pyramid. The Bible then says Jesus pulled them all aside, and he wanted to straighten up their thinking. And this is where he teaches about what it means to be a servant, beginning in verse 25. "But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles domineer over them, and those in high places exercise authority over them. It is not this way among you, but whoever wants to become prominent or great among you shall be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" I want you to notice here how Jesus presents this sharp contrast between his philosophy and the philosophy of the world. His movement, his kingdom, are so different from the ways of the world. And I believe the key phrase found in this passage is found in verse 27, when Jesus said, "Whoever desires to be first among you shall be your slave or servant." Those are forgotten words in this selfish world. And sadly, even in many churches, these are forgotten words. In the megachurch world that we live in today, they're often celebrity preachers, high-powered executives, superstar singers. Whether a church is big or small, the notion of serving rather than being served can easily get lost. Some preachers or leaders may demand a special title or a special treatment. In the Bible, a man named Diotrephes was openly rebuked by the Apostle John because he was not being a servant. I love this passage. It's found in 3 John 9 and 10, where John tells us what this guy was doing wrong. He said, "I wrote something to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first among them, does not accept what we say. For this reason, if I come, I will call attention to his deeds, which he does, unjustly accusing us with malicious words. And not satisfied with this, he himself does not receive the brothers either. And he forbids those who want to do so and puts them out of the church." Diotrephes considered himself the boss. He was the one who was large and in charge. And that is not the attitude of a servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, the Apostle Paul is a great example of what it means to be a servant. We know that in the early days of Christianity, Paul was a prominent leader in the Jewish hierarchy. But after an encounter with Jesus on that road to Damascus, we know he became a servant of Jesus. Paul began almost all of his letters with words like this, Titus 1:1, "Paul, a bond servant of God." That phrase, bond servant, means the lowest of all slaves in a household. He said, "I'm a bond servant of God." Romans 1:1, he says, "Paul, a bond slave of Jesus Christ." It's amazing to me that this man, who certainly could have expected preferential treatment or demanded a high and mighty role of authority over others, referred to himself most often as a servant or slave of God. Paul knew that Jesus himself is the only one who deserves the place of highest authority. He's the one who deserves to be served today in his kingdom. In Colossians 1:18, Paul wrote, "He, Jesus, is also the head of the church, the body of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything." So if you want to be a servant of Jesus, he's first place in everything. There's no doubt that Jesus had and still has a special place of supremacy. I want you to notice how Paul describes Jesus' attitude in Philippians chapter 2. I want to begin reading in verse 5. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bond servant." What's that mean? Lowest of all slaves. "And being born in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross." That's amazing to me. That was Jesus' attitude. I mean, think about it. For all eternity, God the Son had been reigning in heaven with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus was willing to become a servant, and that required leaving his heavenly position, coming to earth as a human, and suffering death by crucifixion. After doing all that, he returned to his rightful place beside his Father. And he is worthy now to be served as our Lord and Savior. He came to serve and to give. And that leads me to the second main point. I want to look at the example of Jesus. And I believe one of the clearest pictures that Jesus paints for us of what it means to be a servant is found in John chapter 13. And I'm going to refer to this throughout the series a few other times too. The Apostle John sets the stage for the event, saying it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that his time on the earth was quickly coming to an end. In fact, he would be betrayed and arrested later that same night. And he wanted to show his apostles what it means to serve. The 12 arrived at the upper room, where preparations for the Passover meal had already been made. And surprisingly, there was no servant there to greet them at the door with a basin and towel to refresh their tired, dirty feet, as was the custom in that day. And so with dirty feet, they reclined at the table and began to enjoy the meal. Then the Bible says that Jesus washed the apostles' feet. Verses 4 and 5 tell us, Jesus got up from supper, laid his outer garments aside, he took a towel and tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into the basin and began washing the disciples' feet and wiping them with the towel which he had tied around himself. Now these apostles were clearly uncomfortable with Jesus' actions here. Peter initially strongly protested, "You're not doing this to me, Jesus." But then relented after Jesus clarified things. When Jesus said, "Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no place with me." Peter said, "Lord, then wash all of me, head to toe, because I want to be part of your family, your kingdom." I want to pick up the story in verse 12. Then when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, Jesus said to them, "Do you know what I've done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are correct, for so I am. So if I, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet, for I gave you an example, so that you would also do just as I did for you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Our Heavenly Father wants us to follow the example of his son Jesus in serving others. Jesus came to serve and to give. Thus he was willing to perform the acts of the lowest slave in a household by washing the disciples' feet. If we're going to be like him, we need to be willing to serve and give to others, whatever that means, and we will be blessed. I read a book called Seismic Shifts, written by a man by the name of Kevin Harney, and I think he captures this. I want to quote a portion of this book. He captures, I think, what we need to do. Here's how he puts it, and I quote from him. "Picture a church in which everyone wants to be served. Each person believes the church exists to meet their needs, to make them happy, to cater to their whims and taste. Imagine a congregation in which everyone has a take care of me attitude and is quick to complain whenever things are not just the way they feel they should be. Sadly, some people don't have to use their imagination to picture such a church. This kind of church will never have a positive impact on the world. This is not a church ruled by a servant spirit." But then he goes on. "Now imagine a church in which every single person has a passion to serve others. Think about what God could do through a group of people who are committed to sacrificial ministry to each other and to the world. These people know that the Holy Spirit has given each of them unique abilities that are to be used for building up people and bringing glory to God. So they are committed to discovering their gifts and developing and using them. What could God do with a church like that?" Unquote. Let me just say this. I am so thankful that I believe we have many people here at the Meadowview Church of Christ who are serving like Jesus served. And I praise God for that. We've all had many great examples of servants who have served like Jesus. People have gone before us, and I could mention a number of names. I'm not going to mention anyone today. I want to remind you that the greatest example of all is Jesus himself. Think about this. When Jesus served, how much did he give? He gave it all. He gave up his life. Are we willing to give it all? Are we willing to give it all for Jesus by serving others through the church? I want to end today with an illustration from a movie. Now, I like the action part of the movie. Debbie liked the relationship part of the movie. As is normal, right? It was Pearl Harbor. Some of you probably saw that came out in 2001. It tells the story of two friends. Their names were Rafe and Danny. And in the movie, they survived the attack on Pearl Harbor and they enter World War II as fighter pilots. But in the beginning of the movie, in training before the war, Rafe McCauley was one of America's top fighter pilots. And when the United States initially held back from entering the war, Rafe volunteered to help the British in their fight against the Germans. In the movie, when Rafe first arrived at the English airfield, he walked by some British planes that had been shot up from the previous day's battle, and he was greeted by the commander of the British squadron. As the commander showed him the plane he would be flying, a messenger announced to the commander that two more British planes had been shot down. The commander then turned to Rafe and asked him, "Are all Yanks as anxious as you to get themselves killed?" And in my favorite line in the movie, Rafe immediately replied, "I am not anxious to die, sir. I'm anxious to matter. I'm anxious to matter." And I hope that's what all of us want with our lives. We want our lives to make a difference. We want our lives to matter. We're not anxious to die for Jesus. I hope none of us do. But we are anxious to be servants and to matter. I've not spoken too much yet about Charlie Kirk and his horrific death a few weeks ago, but I do believe his life mattered. I used to love to listen to him as he openly engaged sharing God's truth, especially with college students, not afraid to stand for the Lord. I believe his life mattered, and I believe your life and my life can matter when we stand for Jesus and when we serve others. It will make an eternal difference, not only for us, but for other people. Today, I want to invite all of you to join me in learning to serve like Jesus served. That's what this whole series is going to be about. The most important thing is that we concentrate on our calling to serve like Jesus, then get busy on making a difference and mattering in this world in which we live. Do you have a desire to make a difference in this world? I hope and pray you do. It all starts with wanting to be like Jesus.
This is Sam Dunn, and I have the privilege of serving as the evangelist with the Meadowview Church of Christ in Frazeesburg. I just want to thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast and listening to a message from Meadowview. If you do not already have a church home, or if we can help you in any way, you can contact us through our website, which is meadowviewchurch.com, or simply call us at 740-828-2536. Thanks again for tuning in, and may God's blessings be with you today.